Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller, and I'm recording on Wednesday, the 10th of December, and it is 10:03 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time here in London. Okay, well, my goodness, exciting, volatile, choppy action taking place in a number of these markets here right now. That puts a little bit of pressure on forecasters here. Probably don't want to stick your neck out too much beyond the forecast for the day, which is unfolding before your very eyes. And even that can be a little hazardous here. I'm going to start with Wall Street here because that fell quite sharply, and the Dow was down 1.5%, and the S&P 500 down 1.64%, and the techie NASDAQ 100, sorry, this is the NASDAQ composite, was down 1.73%. So what's going on here overall? Well, I think we can probably put together a number of factors here. Certainly, nervous short-term sentiment, which I've already mentioned. But why nervous short-term sentiment? Well, it's been an awfully good year. And you can remember towards the end of last year, markets began to soften up a little bit, churn around a little bit, and then we had that big shakeout in January. I'm not necessarily saying that that will take place, but people will remember it. And so I think it would not be surprising if some of the leveraged positions were reduced. That's a good thing for the market overall. And quite possibly some people are reducing exposure and just saying, well, I've had a good year. I don't want to be at risk here right now. So I'd rather book some of the gains. And then, while markets certainly celebrated from that middle of October low right on up until recently, they accelerated bullish factors such as the going beyond the midterm elections for the USA. And we know that that's historically quite bullish on average, but they were also celebrating rather the drop in the price of crude oil, and that is indeed worth celebrating. But it's not quite as beneficial for the U.S. as a market such as India, for instance. And or Japan and but particularly India, which imports I think over 80% of its oil. So why? Well, the U.S. is a huge oil and gas producer, and with these prices coming down, while that benefits certainly consumers and it benefits a number of industries, what it is definitely doing is putting a lot of pressure now on shale producers. Now, it depends where they are, and the rocks are different in all the different regions where the shale is actually produced. But there are some higher cost regions, and those are clearly under pressure and will not be drilling further wells. And there are some high debt levels on the part of some of these operators, so they're going to be under a little bit of pressure. So as oil keeps going down, as it has, and it fell quite sharply in here today, the WTI, that's the U.S. price, is down $2.72 as I speak. It's down to $61.10. So that's beginning to turn into a negative, I would suggest, for the U.S. economy. And then there's perhaps a delayed reaction to the dollar strength. And the dollar index has actually weakened here in the last few days. It's down a little more in here today. DXY is back to 88.220. Now, why would that be? Well, the U.S. has more big multinational companies than any other any other country. These big autonomies, and a lot of these companies in the S&P, bigger companies in the S&P, earn anything from 40 to 50 to 60% of their profits from overseas. Now, if your base currency has gone through the roof, albeit from a very, very low point, sort of like a 30-year low point, but nevertheless, if you get a very sharp rise, that does erode the benefit of those overseas earnings. It's not all bad news because it also gives you more power to invest in other regions, but that always takes a little bit more time, whereas the earnings that you're getting on current activities there, well, that's facing the stronger dollar right now, and it's lowering the earnings somewhat. So there are all these different factors here, and then I would suggest, if this isn't being a little bit too behaviorally creative, that when you get a market such as oil, which after all is the most important commodity in the world still, and when you get that tumbling dramatically into a bear market and yet to reach that low on all evidence, although it's certainly overstretched, that's a sobering thought, and either consciously or subconsciously, people who are enjoying some excellent runs in some high-flying equity positions and counting on easy money to lower the risk considerably, just look at the oil market well, maybe that rings a bell, and you don't want to be too overextended or too heavily leveraged in something that's going through the roof because it can also fall back quite sharply. Okay, enough of all that. What else in these U.S. markets happened today? Well, they weren't very good, and as a matter of fact, the next two, Canada and Mexico, down. Canada down 2.41%, Mexico 2.28%. They're big oil producers, so that's not surprising. And then Brazil down nearly 1.3%, and it's a big commodity producer. So again, not that surprising. Now the European stock markets were also a little lower. Looks like Sweden and Germany were the exceptions among the main indices, but they were only up a fraction. And so most of these are down, but not down heavily. There's nothing in the 1% or more category on the declines. But Europe closed before the US saw some of its sharpest losses, so that may be a headwind. US action might be a headwind for Europe in here tomorrow. In the Asia Pacific, we've had the rallying a dollar, I beg your pardon, I should say a retreat in that strong dollar over the last 2 or 3 days, and the yen has picked up here a little bit. So the yen's firmed. You remember it got up to, well, it fell, I should say. It fell to 221 thereabouts against the US dollar, and it's currently just below 118. So that's putting a little bit of pressure on Japan. And the Nikkei was down 2.25%, and the TOPIX down just over 2%. Also from overextended positions, I described these yesterday as a little bit of vertigo type of reactions here from these big overextended moves to the upside. Now China, which fell over 5%, biggest decline in a number of years on the Shanghai Composite Index yesterday, having had that big type one, if you've been to the chart seminar, acceleration to the upside. China regained over half of that gain, up nearly 3% here today on the Shanghai Composite. Will it run into a little trouble tomorrow? Well, I think at least on the opening, it might well do so, given Wall Street's reaction. I think you want to expect the nervous choppiness, and to be able to look beyond that. What can you say that's really quite positive? Well, China's one of the cheapest, very cheapest markets in all the world, and I wouldn't get too hung up on the economic transition and the low demand for some of the commodities as they move from metal bashers and exporters to more of a consumer economy overall. The main thing is, what's the government doing? And it has been providing some stimulus in here, and so I think that bodes well for the next few years. I actually bought a little bit more of the JP Morgan Chinese Investment Trust in here today. What else happened? We saw Taiwan, South Korea, both down over 1%. Smaller decline for Australia, which has been an underperformer here with all of its resources positions. Sensex, tiny gain in here today. Malaysia up over 1.5%. That's the best gain, other than the Chinese mainland Chinese indices here overall. So it wasn't all one way traffic here by any means. But Wall Street cast a shadow with its closing levels. Okay. Moving on to the U.S. government bonds. I'm going to put that up on the screen. It was at 217 a little earlier, but so much is going on. Let me just bring it up. Well, I'll do that. I'll do that later. I don't want to take that much time. Apologies. U.S. dollar. I mentioned that was lower. That's put sterling a little higher, 1.7, 1.57, and the. I gave you the yen. The euro level also firmer, 1.2445. I'm just going to look at CNY. That's the Chinese renminbi, because it has weakened in the last couple of days, but it strengthened today, which is good. Down back down to 6.1755, and I'm just going to bring up this 10-year for you, and I just slipped a little lower, so 2.1638. Now, I don't think that's because of weakness of the U.S. economy, but some of these other bonds, you've got Germany well below the 1% level. So the U.S. still looks somewhat attractive on that comparative basis. But I think it's mainly a lot of these disinflationary and deflationary pressures from globalization, and also the big technology advances, which are wonderful for the economy in the medium to longer term, but they do have a deflationary effect overall, although I think it's a net positive rather than net negative. Deflationary effect. So we may well see those government bonds range a little bit over, a little bit lower. I think we probably will. And in terms of other developments here today, precious metals, well, palladium up 270 as I speak, $2.70 to 814 and 30 cents. The silver market, well, that had been higher. It was at 1714. It has eased down to 1703. They're still fairly steady. I'd love to see that silver come back a little bit further and then pick it up again. Platinum down $5.6. That's at 1241 and change. And gold bullion down $5 at the moment at $1,225 and change. very choppy activity in those precious metals, as you will have seen. And I should also say that the inverse of that is a very choppy action in some of these U.S. indices. Well, that indicates that some selling pressure is coming in. I don't think it's going to be leading to another shakeout such as we saw in October. I'll attribute it that to sort of some of the year-end profit taking that I talked about a little bit earlier on, and concern over the now some concern over the oil price and the dollar strength. And metals, industrial metals are a little lower in here today. The agricultural crops also look to be mostly a little lower today. And crude oil, boy, 61.13 on the WTI. I think I mentioned that earlier on. And the Brent, let me just bring that up for you. The Brent crude, this is after hours, still trading 64.36. That's down $2.48, a little off the lows. It's been as low as $63.56. Again, this looks very overextended to me at this stage, but we haven't had a rally to the upside to indicate that some serious demand is coming in. And Owen's made the point, which I think is quite valid, that you need a rally of over $5 to put pressure on the short sellers in here, and there will be a fair number of those as well. So, all interesting, and I hope your investments are holding up in this environment. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.